Now, if you will turn in your liturgies to passage number 431, we have a brief recitation that we can read together. 431 from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Be seated, please. Our first lesson this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 19, which is a sad story in the Lord's Word about people who were really misbehaving, being very, very bad. These were people in a place called Sodom and Gomorrah, it's like twin cities in the middle of the land of Canaan. And Abram and his brother Lot were living in the area and had become separated, and Lot had gone into Sodom and was staying there overnight. And he had a problem. So the men, then angels came to Lot and urged him to get away from that city because of the danger that was there for him. And so the men, the angels, said to Lot, this is chapter 19, verse 12, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, that is, while he delayed, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, that is, the angel said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Amen. This first lesson teaches something very important about times when we get in trouble or times when we get in situations that could be very hurtful or harmful to us. The first thing the Lord says is, get up, get out, get away from trouble. Don't stay there. The longer you stay, the more dangerous it will be for you. Get up and get out. So today our theme is going to be about the importance of escaping or getting away from harmful influences in our lives. We're going to be talking about that all morning, and we have a little illustration or an activity for the children to do to help us confirm the teachings that the Lord has given us about the importance of turning away from or shunning the evils, getting away from the dangers that occur in our lives, as in the story of Lot and his need to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Here ends our first lesson. Now our second lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, and we'll begin reading at verse 26. This again is a familiar story. It occurs in all three of the first Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it tells about a man who was possessed by evil spirits. So they sailed to the country, to the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when Jesus stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time, and he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs, that is, in the graveyard. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered into him. Now, legion, children, legion is a word that means many, like 1,000 or 100. Sorry, I think it's 100. A legion is 100. So lots and lots of evil spirits were part of this influence on this terror, on this man with all his problems. And these devils, these evil spirits, they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss, down the cliff. But a herd of swine was feeding there on the mountain, and they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. And then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Amen. This story illustrates the fact that when we are facing problems, there's more to it than meets the eye. Even though we may be aware that there are evil spirits around us, it's hard to imagine how many evil spirits there can be attacking us at one time. It seems like we have just one little problem, just one little challenge. But there are evil spirits who want to make that bigger and bigger and worse. And unless we call upon the Lord to help us, we would be powerless against all of those evil spirits. Our third lesson now is taken from the Arcana Celestia and talks a little bit more about this need to get away and get the Lord's help against evils. We read in the Arcana 1661, "Before anyone has been regenerated, he cannot possibly know, so as to be able to say that he knows, acknowledges, and believes, that no good or truth at all comes from himself, but that everything good and true comes from the Lord. Nor can he possibly know that he is unable by his own power to resist any evil or falsity. Indeed, he does not know that evil spirits are activating and implanting the evils and falsities, still less that he is in communication with hell by means of evil spirits, and that hell presses on him like the sea against every part of a dike, which he can by no means resist by his own strength. Yet because he cannot do otherwise until he has been regenerated, then imagine that he resists by his own strength, this too is permitted." That is to say, he's allowed to think that he's doing all this fighting on his own, when really it's the Lord helping. "And in this condition, he is admitted into conflict or temptations. Subsequently, that is, afterwards, however, he becomes more and more enlightened. When a person's state is such that he imagines that good and truth originate in himself, and that the power to resist is his own, the goods and truths from which he fights against evils and falsities are not really goods and truths, however much they may appear to be so, for they have that which is his own within them. And he places self-merit in victory, boasting as though it were he that had overcome evil and falsity, when in fact it is the Lord alone who fights and overcomes. This is indeed so, no one can know except those who are being regenerated by means of temptations." Amen. So here end our lessons, and may the Lord add his blessing to the hearing of his word. Amen. words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Be seated, please. So today we're going to be talking about shunning evils as sins against the Lord. Shunning means getting rid of, avoiding, even running away from, if necessary, to get away from the harmful influences in our lives. Now, who in here thinks it's a good idea to run away or hide from danger? Yeah, yeah. Depends on the danger, doesn't it? Depends on how dangerous it is, right? Can you think of an example? A situation, for example. So imagine that a tiger has escaped from a nearby zoo and is prowling around your neighborhood. Or what if you saw a tornado coming your way? Or someone really mean and angry coming toward you, looking at you? What would you do? What would you do? You would get away, wouldn't you? You'd try to get away. You would run. You would hide. There's no need to worry about these kinds of situations. Worry doesn't do any good anyway. But it's useful to think, what would you do in a dangerous situation if something came up that was really looking hurtful or dangerous to you? And as we think about these things, there are all sorts of situations in our natural world that can be like this. There can be fire, there can be dangerous things all in our environment. We can be standing on the edge of a cliff, which is dangerous. There are lots of things that we can do that would be dangerous and things that come to us that might be dangerous. But also there are spiritual things, evil spirits who are around us and who are attracted to us if we're not doing the right thing. And so we need to be aware of those dangers also. Now, if you were Superman, you could just take care of any dangers that came up with your superpowers. But really, who in here is a Superman? Did you know that even the Lord, who is or was a superhuman in the world, a superhuman being, sometimes even he ran away or was hidden away from danger until he was ready to really face it? This happened, of course, when he was first born, and the wicked King Herod wanted to kill all the babies in Bethlehem and all in the neighborhood around. And so the Lord was carried away by Mary and Joseph into Egypt and kept safe in Egypt until Herod died. And again, when the Lord was grown up, even though he was mature and strong and wise and good, teaching in the temple, there were situations that were so bad for him. There were people who were so angry and so mean toward him and wanted to kill him that even the Lord, even as he was grown up, he went away and hid himself from them and went away out of the temple and hid himself until the time was right for him to come back and talk again to those scribes and Pharisees and nasty people. So even the Lord sometimes was protected by running away or hiding from people. Now, there are lots of other examples of good people in the Word running away or hiding until it was safe to come out. Remember, for example, Gideon, who was found in the book of Judges, threshing wheat inside of a wine press, which was an enclosure made of stone. And he was doing that because he was afraid of the Midianites, who were really nasty people, who as soon as the Israelites had harvested their grain, they would come swooping down in the country and steal all the grain and fight against the people there in Israel. So Gideon had good reason to be fearful, and he hid from them until the Lord gave him encouragement and a sign and instructions about how to deal with these terrible Midianites. Remember the angels really the Lord, in the story we read from the book of Leviticus, where they urged Lot to get away from that city, to go away from the harmful influences that were there. The words from our lesson are very powerful, as the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And it says, while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hands and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him. They set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Don't dawdle. Run. Do not look behind you or stay in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Again, you may remember Joseph running away from Potiphar's wife in Egypt when she tried to make him lie with her and commit adultery. Joseph had to run away. And he ran so fast he even left his garment behind. Or you may remember the story of the two men who were sent to spy out the land of Canaan before Joshua went in to conquer the land, and how a woman named Rahab hid the two spies in her apartment or her house up on the wall of the city so that they would not be discovered by the people of Jericho and be killed. Even David, King David, ran away from Saul and hid for a long time among the Philistines in Gath, in the Philistine territory. Not because he was really afraid of Saul. He knew he could handle Saul, but he didn't want to have to get into a fight with Saul and hurt him, because he knew that Saul was the Lord's anointed. So David ran away and hid for a while until the time was right for him to come back. Again, the prophet Elijah was told by the Lord to go and hide from the wicked king Ahab near a little brook called Cherith, where ravens, big black birds, would bring him food to eat, and he would have water to drink by the brook during a great famine in the land of Canaan. So Elijah was hidden away and protected by the Lord in his hiding place. Finally, again for now, although there are many other examples, remember the woman clothed with the sun, this beautiful image of the woman clothed with the sun coming down from appearing in the vision of John in the book of Revelation, attacked by this vicious dragon. You know, sometimes we picture the dragon as kind of a fun, interesting beast, but imagine being attacked by a seven-headed dragon. Terrible danger. And she was taken away from the dragon and hidden in the wilderness for nearly 3 years, for a long time, until it was safe for her to come back and deal with her situation. So what do you think? What do you think? Is it a good idea sometimes to run away from danger and hide in a safe place? Isn't that what the Lord teaches us? Yeah, it is. And of course it is. And there's an interesting thing about this, too. We can always run away and hide from evil, but we can never run away and hide from the Lord. He knows us. He knows all about us. He knows where we are. He knows what we're doing. And it's important that he does, because if he didn't, he couldn't really look after us and protect us. But we can run away and we can hide from evil. And when we do that, it allows the Lord to come closer to us and offer more and more of his protection. So we have to do our part. We have to do our bit by cooperating with the Lord to avoid the bad stuff and let him come closer to us. Keep ourselves away, keep ourselves out of harm's way. And in order to demonstrate all this, this is about the middle of our talk today, I'd like to invite up to 12 people, children hopefully, to come on forward. And I'm going to give you each a card. If there aren't all 12, I'll give some of you two of them. And each card has a number on it. The numbers are on the front and on the back. So you can keep track of what's what. See, this is number 1. And on the other side, it says number 1 as well. And I'll just pass them out to whoever wants one, whoever's willing to help out. There's one. There's one. Okay. This is a little activity that's going to help, not only help you, but help the members of the church, the grown-ups, learn an important lesson and remember it. Okay. One, another one. One more. Here you go, Marcellus. I have two more. Who wants two? Okay. The oldest people get two? Okay. All right. Well, maybe not the oldest, but close. All right. So here's a little exercise. Each one of these cards has some instruction on it. Very simple, big words. And as an example and a practice, I'd like to ask somebody, let's say, whoever has number three. Who has number three? Okay, stand up and hold that up high where everybody can see it, the right way around for everybody to see, and see what it says. Okay, come on over here. Okay, can you read that? What does it say? Everybody? Okay. Now, who has number five? Five. Okay. Would you do the same thing? Just hold it up where everybody can see it. What does that say? Don't delay. Don't delay. That is, don't linger, don't hesitate. Get on with it. Okay. So this is an example of what we're going to do now just for a couple of minutes. We've got 12 questions, and we've got 12 answers. And here are the questions. This question will be answered by card number one. So get ready, card number one. Suppose a whole gang of robbers with guns and knives suddenly comes into your neighborhood. What would you do? Hold it up high. Everybody?
Run and hide.
Run and hide. Number two. Okay, this is answered by card number two. Suppose some friends suggest that you go with them to do something mean or stupid. Number two, hold it up high. What would you do?
Get away.
Yeah, hold it up where everybody can see. Get away. That's right. Okay. Don't linger. Get away. This one was going to be answered by number seven, I think. Who's got number seven? Get ready. You got seven? Okay. Step up here where everybody can see. Get ready to hold that up high. Suppose someone wants to show you a picture or a video of something disrespectful or crude. What would you do? Hold it up high. Come on. Let's get out right where people can see. Don't look. Right? Somebody wants you to look at something stupid? Don't look. This one is number eight. Someone is telling dirty stories or taking the Lord's name in vain. Telling lies, maybe. What do you do? Number eight, up high. Don't listen. Thank you. Okay, number nine. Some friends want you to go with them to bully somebody or make that person look foolish. Number nine, what do you do?
Don't do it.
Okay. Number six, a good friend or a parent tells you not to do something because it could be really harmful. What do? Up high.
Don't argue.
Okay. Number four. Who's got number four? Get ready. There's a big fire, and you know you need to get away quickly, but you're curious about it. What do?
Get going.
Get going. Okay. Number five. Someone is about to get hurt, and you need to call someone to help. Number five, who's got number five? What do you do?
Don't delay.
All right, so in general, this is number three. What is the first rule of being a good person? What do you need to do first?
Shun evil.
That is, get away from it. Get away from it. Don't let it stay with you and influence you. What should you always, number 11, what should you always try to do when there is some great danger in your life?
Stay safe.
Stay safe. You can't help somebody else if you're not safe yourself. What can you do when you are hurt or confused? This is number 10. And you have no idea what is best for you to be doing. Number 10?
Call on the Lord.
And the last one. This one could be answered by two different cards, number 1 and 12. What should you do when you are outnumbered and can't possibly resist or win against something harmful or bad in your life? What can you do? Number one, run and hide. Number 12, wait for help. Okay, great. You guys can just leave your cards right here on the floor and return to your seats. And I want you to think for a minute about the fact that all of these situations, even though they might be natural outward situations, they reflect or they remind us about spiritual dangers. Dangers we can't even see that come to us from the other world, from bad spirits from hell, who want to attack us in our heads, in our minds, and in our feelings, and give us bad ideas and bad suggestions and selfish thoughts about what we want rather than what we should be doing for other people. So all of these situations just are simply reminders of the importance of running away and getting away from the bad influences that come to us from the evil spirits. And the best way to do that is to honor what the Lord teaches in His Word so that He can help us overcome those forces that we can't even see. Now, sometimes we may have the feeling that if we run away and hide, we're just being kind of chicken or sissy or afraid. And, you know, there are situations when it's important for us to stand up and fight. But there's no benefit in being stupid about this. There's a wonderful passage in one of Paul's letters to the people who lived in Ephesus, reminding us that when we struggle in temptations, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's a big fancy word. Principalities, and against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Paul has a point. Those evil spirits, we can't even see them, but they're influencing us. They're working on us all the time. We have to be aware that they're out there. So the Lord also reminds us that behind every one evil spirit, there are thousands more just like him, only worse, far too many for us to handle by ourselves. So the Apostle Paul urges us to put on the whole suit of spiritual armor to protect ourselves against those harmful forces. Forces that are too great for us to handle on our own. And that armor includes all the truths of the Lord's Word that can shield us and defend us from evil if we do what they say. And the Lord says, escape. Get away. Don't linger. Now, turning to the teachings of the new church specifically, we find that the Lord has exactly the same message for us. And over again, he has told us that if we want to receive what is good and true from him, from the Lord, along with all his blessings, the main thing we have to do is shun evils as sins against him. Get those things out of our lives. In fact, we get so used to hearing this phrase, shun evils as sins, that sometimes we kind of forget what it's really all about and what it means. But it's simple. It's simple. The word shun doesn't just mean avoid. It doesn't, although that's part of it. What it really means is to flee away, to run away from evil, just as you would run away from a raging forest fire or an explosion or a person chasing you with a gun. In fact, with anything like this, if you couldn't get help quickly, you would run away and hide until the danger passed. How do you run away spiritually? You go to the Lord and ask for His help. Get away from the bad influence. Now, it's not enough just to ignore it or to avoid it. You need to get away and really hide so that you are not attacked by this thing or tempted to go along with it. There's an old saying, people know you by the company that you keep. Why? Why is that so? Because when you spend time with people, you get used to their way of speaking or doing things. And then you start to speak and do things in a similar way. It's just natural. Everybody wants to try to fit in with the people around. So if you hang out with nice, honest, caring people, you are much more likely to be nice and honest and caring than if you were to hang out with people who are mean or sneaky or nasty. Choose your friends wisely, and they will encourage you, and you can encourage them. Let's think of another example. Suppose you have friends who sometimes take the Lord's name in vain, or maybe they don't mind telling lies now and then in order to get something that they want. If you hang out with these people for a long time, you're very likely to start talking in the same way, taking the Lord's name in vain and maybe telling the occasional lie. Now, if you spend a lot of time with people who have wacky ideas, pretty soon you'll start to believe those same wacky ideas. It's just natural. You want to go along. You want to fit in. But if you spend most of your time with people who are thoughtful and wise and kind and who respect the Lord, then that will really help you to do the same. You see, kids' evils really are contagious. They're just as contagious as some of the diseases that people can get in their natural bodies. That means you can catch them from other people, just as you can catch a cold or tuberculosis or some other discouraging disease that you might not even understand. Still, it's important to remember that people are not all bad. In fact, we're all a mixture of good and bad. Sometimes we behave well and sometimes not so well. It's only when the bad comes out that we have to get away and separate ourselves from those people or that situation. And when we do that, it teaches everybody a lesson, ourselves and the other people, that when we behave badly, we tend to lose our good friends. They get away from us, or we get away from them. Now let's dig a little deeper, and we're coming to the end here, but let's think a little more deeply now and realize that this is not just about people outside of us. This is not just about things outside of us. It's also about running away from the evils that are inside of us. Now you might scratch your head and say, how in the world can you get away from things inside yourself? Well, it's good to remember that all our ideas, all our thoughts and feelings don't come from nowhere. They actually do come from good or evil spirits and other people around us. So, they are inspired, these ideas, they are inspired by other people. And some of them are good and some of them are not so good. And the Word clearly teaches us that the evils and falsities we have in our own minds come from the evil spirits who are in the other world. But in the same way that they enter into us from outside, they can be sent away from us outside of ourselves and removed from us. So, just as we need to get away from the bad influences in this world, so we need to get away from the bad influences, the principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the other world that affect our thinking. And how can we do this? Well, it may not be easy, but again, it's pretty simple. You see, the evil spirits, like the angels, come to us when we invite them in. And we invite them in by paying attention to good or bad things in the world around us. For example, when we look at or hear awful things. And grown-ups, you know what I'm talking about too. Certain kinds of magazines, certain kinds of movies. Because the evil spirits love these things, they are attracted to us and come closer to us and encourage us to look and listen even more. We're inviting them in, even though we don't realize it. So in order to get rid of the evil spirits, or to get away from them, we have a very simple job to do. And that is simply stop listening, don't hang around, get away, and stop looking at the things that they're encouraging you to look at that aren't good. Don't linger like Lot did, but take the angel's hand. Take the angel's hand and run to higher ground, a better place. Be safe. Don't be sorry.
Don't be stupid. The more you think about it without taking action, the more time you give those evil spirits to try to convince you, oh, well, it doesn't matter, it's okay after all. Time works against you in that situation. You need to get on with it. Remember, too, you can't help yourself or anybody else if you become a victim. So get away. Get help. And then think about how you can make things better. Then you can really help other people. And because then the Lord and His angels will be with you and give you the power that you can't possibly have by yourself. Again, yes, there is a time to stand up and fight. But we need to be ready. And we can't do it if we're all alone, and especially if we're not ready. We're not strong enough. We're not wise enough. We don't have the Lord with us quite enough yet. The two commandments that the Lord gives us that lead to a truly happy life are to love Him and to love our neighbors. But think about it. What does this really mean? How do we do this? There are quite simply two things we need to do, and we need to do them in the right order. First, shun evils as sins against Him. Remember Him and get away from the things that He doesn't like that are not good for us. Then, second, do what is good. Do what is good because it is good. If we try to do what is good before we get rid of the evil in our lives, then the evil that is still with us kind of contaminates and pollutes the good and makes it not so good after all. This is why there are so many stories in the Word about people running away and hiding from their enemies until the Lord can strengthen them and make it safe to come out and deal with the problem. Let us pray today that we can all have the courage, and yes, it does take courage sometimes, to do these things in their order. First, shun evil. Get away. Run if you have to avoid and get away from the evil. And then wait patiently for the Lord to send us help from His sanctuary, from His Word, and from those who can help us to understand and do the things that He teaches in His Word. Amen. Give you thanks, O Lord, we give you thanks, for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. Amen. And now let us pray. O Lord, teach us what is good and what we need to do in order to receive this good from you. Help us to practice the spiritual skills that will, with your help, protect us from the harm we can't even see coming at us from the hells. O Lord, we are weak, but you are strong. We are ignorant, but you are wise. We are inclined to think mostly of ourselves, but you think of everyone all the time. And you offer your love and blessing to all of us according to our own free will, our choices, and our determination. Give us, we pray, the good sense and courage to stay out of trouble so that your will can be done and your kingdom can come within us and all around us. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.